Well, good morning. Good to see you. Good to be together. Good to be able to worship together. Certainly, lots of exciting stuff happening around this place. You heard about the Amazing Race, which is coming in October. Today, there's an opportunity for adults to fellowship if you'd like to gather together and just enjoy this great weather. We've been having pretty nice weather, haven't we? Yeah, so this afternoon you can gather. There's a hike that's happening, and I invite you, if you're not really connected with folks, that's a good opportunity to meet some folks, to connect together, and spend some time together. One of the things that we've experienced this week is difficulty with our church email. So if you have sent email to any of the staff at our victorchurch.org email, we may not have gotten it, but we have that problem resolved as of about, 2 o'clock yesterday, so it may still arrive, or it may just be forever out there somewhere not coming to us. So if you sent an email and you didn't get a response, we apologize. If you want to resend that, we will get it now, and then we can respond accordingly, all right? So just wanted to let you know that. Another thing that we've done this recently is over on the west side of our property, we have leveled the field, and we've put grass seed down. Yeah, that's great, except that we haven't had any rain since we put the grass seed down. And that is an issue. We've got some sprinklers out there, and we're trying to get that seed to grow. And of course, we all understand that in order for that to grow, it needs water, because we want it to grow roots, right? It needs to get rooted into the soil. Otherwise, it's not going to be healthy. It's not going to grow. It's not going to flourish. It's not going to become hardy enough where we can go out and send kids out there and play on it, right? And so I know that it's not often I would ask you to pray for rain, but pray for rain. It really helps our water bill if we don't have to just keep the sprinklers on the whole time, all right? So that's happening, and that makes a good segue for what we're about to launch into, and that is a new series called Rooted. And Rooted is all about that very same thing that we want for the grass seed over there. Rooted is all about, as it sounds, connecting with God, with others, meaning the church, and growing strong in our faith, having deep faith roots. And so, since we're at the beginning of this series, why don't we start at the beginning, Genesis 1:1, probably the easiest verse in the Bible to find. Genesis 1:1. So let's turn there, all right? Genesis 1:1, we're going to start right there. We're actually going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to spend some time also in John 1 in the New Testament. It's fascinating, if you're familiar with those passages, that both of these passages open the same way, in the beginning. And by the way, it's no coincidence that Genesis opens with the creation of the world and John opens with the coming of Christ. That Genesis tells us how everything began, and John tells us who was there before it began. Genesis tells of God speaking light into darkness, and John tells of the light that has come into the world. So here we are, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We are immediately confronted, aren't we, by a staggering declaration, and that is this, that before there was anything, there was God. In the beginning, God. It may be one of the most simplest statements in all of Scripture, but is certainly not simple in lacking depth. This is not speaking about a God that's made in our image. It's not the result of human imagination or myth, but the self-existent, uncreated God of the universe. You'll also notice in verse 2, that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the face of the deep. That phrase describes chaos, emptiness, confusion. There was darkness that was formless. It was empty. And if we're honest, those words could also describe how many people feel today. Formless, without form, no structure. It seems like chaos. People feeling like life is just chaos. Empty. Void. Like something's missing. Many people describe an emptiness that they feel as they go through life. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Darkness, that confusion. I don't know what it's like when you're in the dark, but it can be confusing. It can seem like hope is far, far away, and everything is just heavy. You see, what we see at the very beginning of creation reminds us or resonates with us as we go through life at times. We feel like life is chaos and it's empty and it's just dark. But listen, what I want to point out is that's not where God leaves us. And the first thing that we need to understand is God is present in those moments. God is present. It wasn't as if Moses writes and he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And God was checked out. We might think in the midst of chaos or emptiness or a lack of hope that those things exist because God has checked out. God's not there. What's going on? But he reminds us that God is present. Notice what it says in the last half of verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Hovering. This original word gives us a picture of like a bird that's hovering over a nest. A bird that's hovering over the nest and it's ready to act, it's ready to protect or care for anything that's in the nest. That's the picture that original language Hebrew word gives us, that God was hovering. We might use the word poised in our English language today, that God was there and he was poised to be at work. God is present. He's there even in the darkness, even in the void. And there may be times where we don't feel him, where we may not see him moving, but let me assure us that God is there, poised over the chaos, over the confusion, waiting for the word to be spoken. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 3, and God said, God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke. The universe is not the result of a cosmic accident, but of a divine word. It reinforces for us, indeed, the power of words. As we see here, words can be life-giving. And as we studied, even as recent as I think about 4 or 5 weeks ago when we talked about the way we speak to each other, words can be murderous and can be, well, not life-giving, but life-taking. The power of words and the power of God's word, the whole universe created by word. And it's not merely, by the way, a scientific statement. It's a theological one. Because God is the source of all light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Not just physical light, but God is a source of moral light, of spiritual light. Without him, there's only darkness. Darkness is defined as lacking light. And so we find here at the very beginning We try and recognize what was at the beginning. And there's this God that's talked about, but who is God? Well, God is the creator of the universe. He's the source of light. And so we find here at the beginning, in the beginning, God. So now let's fast forward a little bit, turn to John chapter 1 in the New Testament. John chapter 1, we find again these words in the beginning. John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. I'm going to start by reading the first couple of verses. Hopefully you're there by now. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And as we read that, the Jewish reader certainly would have immediately thought of Genesis in the beginning. Now we may think of it as well because we're familiar with Genesis and the Old Testament. And John is inviting us to see the parallel there with Genesis chapter 1. But there's something more. He's now identifying the Word. This logos is the original word there for word, logos, not merely as a creative force, but as a person. And we get a little insight into the Trinity as John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, distinct in person. The Word was with God, a distinct personality. And the Word was God, equal in essence. We get some insight into the Trinity here, that the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God as well, all present, self-existing, equal in essence, but distinct in personality. And he goes on to say in verse 3, through him all things were made, referencing right back to Genesis 1 and the creation account. But who is this Word? Well, John tells us it's Jesus. That's the whole point of John's gospel. He wants us to see as clearly as possible the person of Jesus. And so John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He's not just a messenger, he is the message. He's not just one who brings the light, he is the light, John tells us. And by the time we get to verse 14, if you look down a little bit in the Gospel of John there, it says, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John makes it unmistakably clear that he's talking about Jesus. And if we look at verses 3 and 4, we find these words, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. When Jesus came into the world, he came into a world that was still groaning under the curse of sin, still lost in spiritual night, still looking and waiting for God's provision of a redeemer, of a savior. But he walked right into that darkness, didn't he? Boldly stepping into the world. And as a light is apt to do, he shined. He shined in the darkness. And that's the story of the world, isn't it? Humanity trying to live apart from the light of God. We fumble about sometimes in spiritual blindness, people denying the very one who gave them life. But the amazing truth of the gospel is this: the Word came into our darkness, the light came into our night. That's what John is telling us. At the very beginning, Jesus was there. And now, Jesus steps into the world, into the darkness, to provide light. I don't know about you, but when it's dark, the one thing I want most is light. If I get up in the middle of the night, I don't want to walk in the darkness because I get hurt when I do that. I bump into things. I'm sure, like probably some of you, I have broken toes over the years, and you know, they're just toes, so you don't do anything anyway. I don't think it's an adult thing, exclusively, by the way. You know, when kids are afraid at night, they hear a noise, they don't know what it is, what do? We turn the light on. When a situation is confusing or perplexing, trying to figure something out, and then somebody maybe who can help us in that is said to have shed light on the situation. See, when we're in the darkness, the one thing we want more than anything else is light. And to a world that was shadowed in darkness came the light. Jesus came into the world. That's the promise of who God is, not just the creator of the universe, but the light of the world. And as we begin thinking about being rooted in our faith, we have to begin at the beginning, don't we? Don't we have to start there? Who's God? Really? Who is he? Let's look at verse 5. Let's keep going. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There are some other translations that say understood or comprehended or overcome. You may, because we typically have a variety of translations in the congregation, you may see one of those words there, overcome or understood or comprehended it. The Greek word carries all of those ideas, that the darkness could not grasp the light and it could not defeat the light. I can't understand it and I can't overcome it. I can't win, the darkness says. And don't miss this. The darkness tries to overcome the light, but it never will. It doesn't win. You know what that means for us? That means depression doesn't need to win. That means addiction doesn't need to win. That means doubt doesn't need to win. The enemy does not need to win. And in fact, doesn't in the end. Why? Because the light shines and the darkness cannot overcome him. The darkness does not win. That's the promise of Jesus, the light of the world coming into the world, a dark place, a place where we experience darkness at times. Darkness tries to overcome, but it cannot. It does not. That's one of the great promises of who God is. He's the one who wins in the end. He's the one that the darkness cannot overcome. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it or overcome it or comprehended it. You know, if you want to understand who you are and why you're here and how to live with hope in a dark world, which has been talked about quite a bit recently, you have to start at the beginning. You've got to go back to the beginning. And at the beginning, what do we find? Well, we find God. We find God being present. And we find, according to John, the Word and the light. I don't know what you have found so far as you've spent your time here on this earth. Probably in a gathering this size, there'd be lots of answers to that question. as you've gone searching to try and answer some of those questions. Well, why am I here? What am I doing here? Where do we come from? When we go back to the beginning, we find God. We find God speaking creation into existence, God, the author of life. And then we find Jesus in the New Testament stepping into a world that has become dark at times, stepping into that world as the light, a light that the darkness does not overcome. So what are we to make of all of this? What does all this actually mean for us, for you and I? Well, it means that there is a place to start. It's not random. It's not chaos. It's not void and empty. Life does have meaning. And that meaning comes from understanding where life comes from and who provides it to us. You know, it's possible to admire the beauty of Genesis 1 and miss the one to whom it points. To look at the beauty of creation and somehow miss that there's a creator. Romans 1:20 tells us that we are without excuse when we can look at the world that has been created and recognize that there is indeed a creator. One of the illustrations that we've used in the past and we can use again today. Before the advent of cell phones, I used to ask people, how many have a watch on? Now, a lot of us do because we have a smartwatch, right? Yeah, I used to wear a dumb watch. You know, all it did was tell me what time it was, and most of the time it was right, right? Now we got smartwatches to tell us all kinds of other stuff. But to look at, say, a cell phone, how many have a cell phone with them? Almost all of us do, right? You know, I don't often tell you this, but take it out, look at it. Not look at your apps, not do that, just look at that. And you can look at that and you can say, wow, this is such an amazing invention, amazing creation here. And I think every one of us in this room would recognize that that invention had an inventor, right? That came from somewhere. Somebody smarter than most of us in the room figured out how to make that thing happen, right? The invention points to an inventor, and creation points to a creator. Now, I could come along and say, well, now wait a second. I want you to take a cardboard box, and you say, where do I get a cardboard box if I don't have anything? Don't worry about that. Just get a cardboard box. And take glass and plastic and metal and put it in the cardboard box. And you say, well, where am I getting the glass and plastic? Don't worry about that. Just put it in the box. And I say, just shake it. Just shake that box. Just keep shaking that box. Shake the box. You're going to have to shake the box it's going to be a long time. You're going to be shaking the box. But at some point, you'll look in the box and there's going to be that cell phone. Right? And you laugh at that, rightfully so, but that's as silly as thinking that behind creation there's no creator, that it's just random, that it just somehow put itself all together. You would never look at your cell phone and think, wow, I'm glad that developed. Glad all that came together. I don't know who was shaking that cardboard box, but I'm really glad. Creation points to a creator. If we want to start at the beginning, we certainly can start at our beginnings, the world's beginning. And when we start there, we find God. And we find God present and ready, hovering, poised, ready to act, the Spirit of God was. And God said, let there be light, and there it was. But it's possible to admire the beauty of Genesis 1 and miss the one to whom it points, I suppose. It's possible to appreciate the poetry of John chapter 1 and yet remain in darkness. But John writes these words so that we might believe. The end of the gospel, 20 verse 31, that we might believe, he says, he's written these words, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might have life in his name. Jesus is not only the light of the world, but he's the life for men, for you and I. It's not just cosmic theology, it's a personal salvation. It's personal. It's the other thing we need to recognize about God is that he is personal. So let us hear these opening words again, not as abstract theology, but as a personal divine invitation. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. The light shines in the darkness. Friends, the question today is not whether the light has come, it has. The question for us today is, have you stepped into it? Have you chosen to begin where God begins, with creation and light and an invitation to step into the light and out of the darkness? That's the question for us today. That's the invitation of Jesus. In him was life. That life was the light of men, John tells us. And so I ask us these questions. Have you allowed the Word of God to bring order to your chaos? Have you let the light of Christ shine into the dark corners of your life? Because darkness has not overcome him. So many times I hear people talk about wanting victory in their lives, wanting victory in a certain aspect of their life. And light is victorious over darkness. And so we need to not just lean into the light, but step into the light. You know, leaning in is kind of like, I'm going to try. Stepping in is I'm committed. Right? A lot of folks lean in. But Jesus' invitation is to step in. And by his grace, the darkness does not overcome those corners of our lives either. So, let me just wrap up with a couple of statements here. If you're in a dark place, God's already there. In the beginning, it was a dark place, but God was there. God's present. If you feel formless or empty, if life seems chaotic to you, nothing fits together, there's nothing there that speaks about purpose, well, Jesus wants to bring creation to your chaos. He wants to bring new life to that chaos, to bring purpose in the midst of that emptiness. And the last thing, if you're battling darkness, remember that the light, Jesus, wins. Darkness does not overcome the light. So if you're battling darkness, step into the light. That's where victory is. Put your faith and your trust completely in that light of the world, the life of men. And so as we begin this series called Rooted, and I know so many will be studying more in your groups during the week. Encourage you to do that if you're not in one. Recognize we have the opportunity to go deeper, to be rooted, like that seed over on that field that's waiting to really take off and grow. Maybe some of us here have just been waiting for a little bit of water and sunshine so that we can grow our roots deep and really take off and grow. That's what I hope you're able to do today and over the next several weeks. But the beginning place, the starting point, is in the beginning. God and Jesus, the creator of the world, the light of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning to spend some time and be reminded of what your word tells us, that you were there at the very beginning when this world was dark and chaotic. There was no form. It was void, that you spoke into existence all of creation, including us. Even here today, you are the author of our lives. And so, God, I pray that we would step into the light. Step into that life so that you could not only be the author of our lives, but the writer of our stories. And God, may we be ones who depend on you, who put our faith and trust in you because of who you are. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've given us life, but we thank you that Jesus has come to provide new life. I pray for all of us here in this place that we have experienced that new life, or we would today decide it's time to put our faith and trust in you. Because of who you are, not because of what we've done or haven't done, not because of what we're facing or not facing, but simply trust you because you are the creator, the giver of life, and you are the light of the world. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. May you help us to grow deeper and stronger in our faith and our walk with you as we consider your word and respond to it this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.